الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders and dear brothers, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exactly 1,500 years old. It's about, well not about, but exactly 1,500 years that have passed since the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is 1,447 years since the Hijrah, 1447. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwarah, he was 53 years old. Which means 1,500 years have passed and the seerah is still alive. Part of Allah's protection, or part of Allah's promise to protect the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us in the Quran that it is Allah's duty and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to protect the Quran. Part of protection of the Quran is protection of the seerah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do we study the seerah? There are many objectives. Amongst the objectives of studying the seerah and reading the seerah is that it is an ibadah. It is an independent ibadah. Just like reading the Quran, reciting the Quran is an ibadah. Taking a book on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reading it, that is an ibadah on its own. Whether you practice upon what you have read or not, the fact that you are reading it, that alone is an ibadah, an act of worship. Another objective why we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why we read about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to enhance our love for him. And to activate the love that we have for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that you will never be able to perfect your iman, which is your relationship with Allah. You can never perfect it until you do not love me more than you love your own self. Now the question is, how do I know, at what point do I realize that I love a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than I love myself? It depends on what you give preference to. Do I give preference to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over my desire? Do I give preference to the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over my personal feelings? What do I prioritize? If I am prioritizing the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the commandments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over everything else, then that means I love the Nabi of Allah more than I love myself. Another reason why we study the seerah is to emulate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow him. The more you learn of him, the more you fall in love with him. And the more you fall in love with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more you develop confidence in the Nabi of Allah. And it is confidence that we need in order to, if we want to blindly follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is something that we are required to do, then we must develop confidence in the Nabi of Allah. You know, whenever we speak about following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the term ittiba is used, ittiba ur Rasul, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We translate it as following. But following does not perfectly or inclusively explain the meaning of ittiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that if they genuinely and truly love Allah, then they should make your ittiba. Ittiba, or this term ittiba, the word fattabi'uni, it is derived from tabi'ah. What is a tabi'ah? Not tabi'at like we say, you know, your tabi'at, your temperament. No, tabi'ah. What is a tabi'ah? Tabi'ah is that young animal that never leaves the side of the mother. You must have observed and you must have seen the young animal when it is born and for a few days thereafter. That young animal moves with the mother wherever the mother goes. It has full confidence in the mother. It relies on the mother for everything. It never doubts the mother's decision. In whichever direction the mother proceeds, it will follow the mother and it blindly follows the mother. Why? Out of the confidence that young little child has in the mother. Allah instructs us that we should become the tabi'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Blindly follow him. That will only happen when we have confidence in him, and that confidence is a product of the love that we develop for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the essence of tabi'ah. I will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Confidence in the sunnah, in the seerah, in every commandment of his, whichever direction a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeds, or he asks me to move, I will move in that direction. And without a doubt, I will be fully convinced that in it lies benefit for me. My Nabi will never drive me, and he will never guide me towards that which is harmful for me. Another important objective, why we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is because it gives us the opportunity to understand the many difficulties that we experience in life, the challenges that we have in life, the setbacks that we face in life. It helps us navigate the challenges that we have in life. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced many ups and downs, many ins and outs, many successes and many setbacks. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had these fluctuations throughout the seerah. And these fluctuations in the trajectory of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have many, many great lessons for us. In fact, they teach us how to navigate through the challenges that we face as individuals, that we face as families, that we face as a community, and that we face as an ummah. Right now we know that there is a part of the ummah amongst many other areas that is suffering, and that is undergoing great and unimaginable sacrifice and inhumane treatment for the past 2 years. The people of Gaza, what they are experiencing is no secret to us. It is something that we are not in touch with. It is something that we do not have absolutely no knowledge about. And to understand this and to appreciate it, and to help us navigate through it, and more importantly, how we should react to it, we need to study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The seerah is what will allow us to navigate through the challenges in life. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a similar event that a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced during his time in Makkah al-Mukarramah. We all heard of the boycott that was imposed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was a boycott that carried the harshest of terms. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was made to suffer extensively. Not only him, but the entire Banu Hashim. When Abu Jahl and the Quraysh, they instructed Abu Talib over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that they may eliminate him and they may kill him. Immediately Abu Talib, he got together with the seniors of the Banu Hashim family. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam belongs to the Banu Hashim because of his great grandfather whose name was Hashim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the son of Abdullah. Abdullah was the son of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib was the son of Hashim. Hashim is buried in Gaza. And that is why one of the names of Gaza is called Gaza to Hashim, the Gaza of Hashim. On one of his trade journeys, Hashim, he was the one who introduced the economy of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So on one of his trade journeys to Sham, to Palestine, upon his return, he was in Gaza, and that is where he passed away, and that is where he is buried. Nevertheless, the Banu Hashim, they refused. They said, we will never hand over Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Quraysh, because obviously they wish to kill him and eliminate him. And they decided that they will take refuge and they will move to the valley of Abu Talib. The valley of Abu Talib. Today, if you perform your sa'i between Safa and Marwa, you end at Marwa, and after the sa'i, you exit from the door of Marwa. In front of you, you see Jabal Abi Qubais. On your left-hand side, a few hundred meters away, that is the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Between Jabal Abi Qubais, where the palace of the king is constructed before you, and the Mount of Al-Marwa, that is the valley of Abu Talib. So that is where the boycott was imposed upon the entire family of the Banu Hashim. They suffered extensively. Extensively. Subhanallah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he underwent untold suffering, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in, every one of them suffered extensively. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once I was so hungry, we had nothing to eat, we were starving. And there was this strategic starvation that was imposed upon us, as we see today on the people of Gaza. They are strategically starved to death. And they are forced to go to these sites where they are promised food, and when they arrive there, they are killed as well. So he says, I went out one day to relieve myself. And speaking of relieving himself, about 2 weeks ago, we had a doctor with us, a neurosurgeon from the UK, and he spent some time in Gaza recently. Well, not recently, but during the month of Ramadan, he was allowed to go in and assist. And he says that the situation is so bad that it was the month of Ramadan, and I realized that most of the people in the area where we were based, they were living in tents rather than living in their homes. Because if the bomb falls on a structure, they are afraid and they face the risk of being buried under the rubble. They rather live in a tent, so when the bomb falls on them, they are killed and they are martyred. They prefer that over suffering before dying. He says, one night I exited, I had some food items to share with the people, and he says, the moment I entered into the tented area, I was met with the most disgusting stench and smell that I could not tolerate it, I could not go any further. And then I was informed where the source of the stench was. He says, in every tent you had the entire family living in the tent. In one corner of the tent, there was a hole that is dug for them to defecate in and relieve themselves. Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala says, I went one day to go and urinate to relieve myself. Similar sufferings. But the Yahud, the Israelis, they have taken it to a next level. Over and above the economic boycott, over and above the sanctions, over and above the strategically imposed starvation, they are bombing them, and they are killing them, and they are murdering them. The Quraysh, people like Abu Jahl did not even go to that extent. So he says, I came across the skin, animal skin of a dead animal. I was starving, I was hungry, I took that, I washed it, I heated it, I crushed it, and I added water to it, and that is what I had for the next few days. And that is what they are experiencing right now in Gaza. How often we hear that they have nothing to eat but animal feed. Sahaba say that the situation was so bad. This was in the seventh year after Hijrah, seventh year after Nubuwa. The seventh year, the beginning of the seventh year after Nubuwa. And it lasted for 3 years. They remained there for 3 years. They lived under this difficulty, this economic, not only economic, but even a social. It was a social boycott, completely boycotted and cut off from the world. There are so many lessons for us to learn. Time does not allow us to go into each one of these lessons and derive inspiration from these lessons. But it's important for us. It's important for us to exercise empathy. Now obviously we do have empathy, and we look in the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in. There were many in Makkatul Mukarrama. There were many in Makkatul Mukarrama at the time who were non-Muslims, but they experienced empathy. Empathy is where you understand the next person's situation, you actively listen to the next person's situation, you actively following the stories of the next person. That is empathy. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demanded from us constructive empathy. That we don't simply sit with the feeling and dwell over the feeling. There's constructive empathy. Constructive empathy. Where that feeling of pain and hurt, it translates into action. There's something that we do about it. It's not only a feeling that we dwell over and a feeling that we experience. At least by now I should be offering 2 rakats of salah every day for the people of Gaza, followed with a dua. At least that amount should be part of my constructive empathy. towards what is happening in that part of the world. Boycotting, such an important constructive empathy strategy that we must employ, whether it makes a difference or not. Very often people say, what difference is it going to make? Everyone is drinking the product, everyone is procuring it, everyone is selling it, everyone else is having it. I go to every wedding, or I go to every event, or I go to every social function, and the product is there. Allah does not look at the outcome, whether it has an outcome or not. Allah looks at your attempt. Allah looks at your attempt. How can I use my money to benefit a company that is complicit in the crimes against the people of Gaza? They are complicit in the crimes against the people of Gaza. How can any benefit go to them? Whether it makes a difference, whether it disrupts the economic supply chain or not. Constructive empathy demands. And that's what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, the parable, subhanAllah, the imagery is so incredible. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the body. When one part of the body is in pain, and you might have heard this hadith all the time over and over again, the rest of the body, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it reacts. That reaction is constructive empathy. There is a visible and there is an obvious reaction to one part and pain of the body. The people of Makkah say that the boycott was so intense and the starvation was so intense that they could hear the children and the babies crying out of hunger. The same doctor who was here 2 weeks ago, and he said to us that I would go out at night and I would hear the women and the children howling and crying in the darkness of the night. They are suffering from psychosis. They have turned psychotic. It is demanded from us now more than ever that we display constructive empathy. We can no longer live life the way we have been living it. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with bounties. Allah has blessed us with food and drink. But never are we allowed during such times, to display israf, wastage, extravagance, unnecessary spending on unnecessary events, unnecessary spending on unnecessary items. It is absolutely, absolutely insensitive on our part to continue living life the way we have been living it before the genocide had started in the land of Gaza. So the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam provides us with a map which allows us to navigate through the challenges that we see in different parts of the world, the challenges that we experience in a personal life. And that's why it's so important for us to revive the halaqat and the circles of studying the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide us with a guideline by which we can live our lives and through which we can react to what we see and what we witness happening around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.